and restest in the law, and makes thy boast of God. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Let's come to God and pray. Father, thank you for this hour once again that you've brought us to your house of worship, and you've gathered us as your family that belongs to your Son, Jesus Christ. As we continue to learn from your holy word, may you open up our minds of understanding, may you purify our hearts, and may you cleanse our thoughts as we live this life. Bless this lesson now. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Looking at verses 17 to 24 tonight, the title of this lesson is The Jew. The Jew. In the previous service, we closed with verse 16, and we made a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. We said that the Jews had the written law, written in stones. Meanwhile, the Gentiles had the what? Conscience written in their heart. When we get to verse 16, Paul said that they both failed. Because in the coming judgment, in the white throne judgment, every secret of man will be revealed by Jesus Christ according to Pauline gospel. Okay, according to Pauline gospel. It says to my gospel. That's the Apostle Paul speaking there. He says from verses 17 to 24, actually all the way to chapter 3, for the remaining of this chapter, he turns the focus on the problem with the Jew. I had a coworker last night. I think God is doing something with me at work, with every coworker that I have. As I was preparing for this verses that we're about to look at now, I have a coworker, the same one that I was sharing with, I think I told you a few weeks ago. She brought a book to work that says, the title of the book is What is a Jew? And she had it sitting right on her desk, and I was thinking, what's the coincidence of me having a coworker with a book entitled What is a Jew? And here am I preparing a message about the Jews, right? Something, somebody's telling me something there. Amen. But verse 17, I want you to pay close attention to a couple of things that Paul says about the Jew. Now, the language of the following verses from verses 17 to 20 is almost like a sarcasm. Okay? He gets sarcastic with the Jews here. Take a look at verse 17. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew. Now, was Paul a Jew? Yes. So in a way, when he writes this, he can say that because he's a Jew. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew. And then he begins to, in a bullet point manner, he begins to list what the characteristics of Jews. Take a look at point number one. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew. The Jews rest in the law. Okay, that's the first thing that he says. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law. The law, the Jews depended on the law to guide them to know what is right and what is wrong. And then secondly, he says, Jews rest on the law. And secondly, the Jews, they boast about God. He says, and makest thy boast of God. You know, the nation of Israel, of all the nations in the country, all the Gentile nations, you and I know that the country of Israel is probably the only monotheistic religion. Okay, every other religion in the world, aside from Islam, of course, are polytheistic. You take Buddhism, you take Zoroastrianism. Most religions worship more than one God. Well, the Jews stand out in that they only believe in Jehovah God. There's the Jehovah God. They are the only They are the of all cultures in the world, the Jews have a grasp of a written word of God in which they believe. Take a look at verse 2 of chapter 3. Okay, the Jews have this pride in them that they are the chosen people, right? In chapter 3, verse 2, we learn that the Jews, to the Jews were given, they were committed the oracles of God. And so they have this pride that they boast about, according to verse 17. He says, thou art called a Jew, you rest in the law, and you make your boastings about God, or of God. And why? Look at verse 18. He says, you boast about God, about your relationship with God. You know His will, God's will. You approve the things that are more excellent. In other words, Paul is saying that the Jews is the best of all cultures, if you can call it that. The best of all lineage or of all generations. I mean, there's no other country that can be compared with the Jews, with the nation of Israel. It says, approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. The pride of the Jews is dependent on the law. Okay, that's where their pride lies on. They are the source of the Ten Commandments. Would you agree? There is no Ten Commandments outside of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Well, everybody has a law. We learned that the Gentiles, they have their own law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, you know, commit, thou shalt not steal. Every culture has their own sets of morals. But the Jews have it down to the point, as in, here, it's all written. Ten Commandments. The books of Moses, the Pentateuch, we have it. The Jews are saying, oh, we're better than everybody else because we have the law written. We have been instructed in them, and we're better than everybody else. Look at verse 19. He says, not only are we instructed out of the law, look what Paul says about his people. He says, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind. The Jews have that pride that they are the light of the world. Right? That's what Paul is saying. Look, he says, a light of them which are in darkness. So the pride of the Jew is that they are the source of knowledge about God. For the entire world to know God, they have to go through the Jews. And that's their pride. Verse 20, he says, an instructor of the foolish. Who is he calling foolish? Gentiles. Everyone who's not a Jew is foolish because we are just vagabonds. We're nobody compared to them. A teacher of babes. Who is he considering babes? Gentiles. Which has the form of knowledge and of the truth, once again, in the law. The entire premise behind the Jewish pride is the Old Testament, the law. That's the entire premise. They have it. It was given to them, and they were instructed out of it, and that's their pride. But then when we get to verse 21, so Paul's being sarcastic here. He's saying, oh, you're a Jew, you rest on the law, and you're boasting about your knowledge of God and relationship with God. You're bragging about the fact that you were instructed out of the law. You're bragging about the fact that you are the light of the world. You're bragging about your knowledge about the law, that you're the teacher. And then in verse 21, notice what he says. He puts them in check. He says, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest not thyself, thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should steal, dost thou steal? Paul turns it around and says, okay, you think you know the law. You think you've been educated in the law. You think you are brought up under the law. You think you're the teacher of everybody. Guess what? Are you doing what you're preaching? Are you practicing what you're teaching? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Okay, Jews, you have this pride of being given the oracles of God. You have this pride of being the chosen people of God. But what do you do with what God has entrusted you, is what he's saying. He says, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhors idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Wow. Verse 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law, okay, you're bragging about the law? Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying exactly what Jesus Christ called the Pharisees. He said, ye hypocrites. That's what he's saying. You're telling me that you're this and that you're that, but you're actions speak louder than words. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you're saying you know the Ten Commandments. You're saying that you have been taught in the Ten Commandments, but you are the first ones that break the Ten Commandments. That's what Paul is saying. He's rebuking them. He's revealing their hypocrisy, and he can say that he was a Jew too. Take a look at Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13. When Jesus Christ was on earth, when he was living on earth, the first group of people that he rebuked were the Jews. Right? Mark chapter 7. Take a look at verses 9 through 13. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Then he gives an example, perfect example. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. What Jesus Christ is referring to here is found in Leviticus chapter 27. It has something to do with the giving of a gift. The giving of a gift became a big issue, to the point that if you were to give a gift, you were a Jew and you wanted the Pharisee to bless you or to be on your side to favor you, all you got to do is bring a gift. That's in modern times we call that bribery, right? Today we call that bribery. Like, you want me to preach something that sounds good for you. You want me to agree with you. You want me to say things that you would like that will not rebuke me. You have to give me something, right? That's what's going on with the Pharisees and then the priests back then. And when there was a family issue and you want the Pharisee to side with you, you bring them a gift. And then the Pharisee would find scripture that will agree with what you have to say. As long as you bring him a gift. Amen? And that's what's going on here. So Jesus Christ rebukes them and says, you guys have created a tradition that goes against the word of God. See, that's the entire issue with the Jews. They began to lift up tradition over the word of God. Amen? Now, that's the doctrinal teaching in this text. Let me make a spiritual application, a practical application for us. Amen? Amongst Baptists, amongst any church, there is a danger of lifting up tradition over the word of God. There's a danger of saying, well, we're going to do it this way because we've been doing it this way ever since. Never mind the fact that there is no scriptural reference or reference that you could you know defend that practice with. Never mind that. We've been doing it this way, and therefore we should keep it. Never mind that the Word of God says this, which is contrary to that. Well, that's what the Jews were doing. So Paul rebukes them and says, "Oh, you're hypocrites. You say one thing and then you do the exact opposite." Right? That's what Paul is saying. Thou dost sayest a man shall not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ drops the hammer on the Jews again. More so on the Pharisees. The leaders of the Jews. Take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21. So the bragging rights of the Jews is the law, and their knowledge of it, and their upbringing, right? Under the law. But notice what Jesus Christ does. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 21. This is where conviction began to sit in the hearts of the Pharisees, and they wanted to stone him towards the end. Take a look at verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. It was said of them of old time. What is it referring to? The Old Testament, right? The Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Jesus Christ brings something better than that. He says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Wow. Take a look at verse 27. He does it again. Verse 27, he says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time. What is it saying? In the Old Testament, you guys read and you taught and you were brought up to believe that thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Pharisees were big on preaching that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Ten commandments, right? And then Jesus Christ puts them in check again. He says, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Can you imagine what the Pharisees were thinking when they heard Jesus Christ say these things? Verse 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. It had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Again, he says, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. We've dealt with that from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Causeth her to commit adultery. Remember? 1 Corinthians chapter 7? Verse 33. Take a look at verse 33. Again. Jesus Christ said, you have heard that it had been said by them of old time. He kept repeating it. He kept saying, okay, this is what you've been taught. This is what you grew up under. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I am saying unto you. You realize that? Look at verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth. Look at verse 38. The entire chapter. He says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Wow. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That's Christianity. You see? He goes contrary to the exact same bragging rights of the Jews. He says, here's what you're bragging about. In reality, you're bragging about those things, and yet you're committing the exact same things that you're bragging about. You are hypocrites. Look at verse 23 now as we come to close. Look at verse 23. He says, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, if you're going to preach something, if you're going to tell the Gentiles not to do this and not to do that, and you are doing it yourself, I'd rather that you don't tell them that. Amen? Why? Look at verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Through who? Through the Jews. Because of the hypocrisy of the Jews, the name of God is blasphemed. Because of the hypocrisy of the Jews, the entire world does not believe in God. Wow, it's pretty heavy, huh? It almost sounds anti-Semitic in our modern language today. It almost sounds like an anti-Jew, right? But here's the spiritual application. Here, that's the doctrinal lesson, is a rebuke against the Jews for their unbelief, for their hypocrisy. But here's the spiritual application, if you don't notice it already. These texts can be applied to Christians today. Amen? When you begin to witness to someone, when you begin to tell someone, you should not be doing that, you should not be doing this, and yet you yourself are doing the exact same thing as a Christian, it is better, according to Paul, not to say anything, because you're guilty of the same. Because more likely than not, when that person that you've been preaching to finds out that you're guilty of the same thing that you are preaching against, you know what will happen to that person? Paul said you make them twice of a sinner than they were. Amen? Perfect example. You begin to harp, oh, we should not dress up like that. You know, in our church, this is a Bible Baptist church, ladies only wear skirts, right? Men only wear a suit and tie in church. You begin to preach like that, right? And then the people believe it. When they come to church, that's how they dress, because that's what the pastor talks about all the time. And then you go outside, you go to the mall, and you see the pastor's daughter wearing pants. What does that do to somebody who has been hearing that kind of hypocrisy, right? Or what does that do to somebody who's saying, oh, don't watch that, and then you see them, you know, whatever example. But do you know what I'm saying? That way, that's why I believe instead of preaching standards, I'd rather preach spirituality. Because when you begin to set the standard, you begin to specify the standards in the church, and that's not really being lived outside of the church, all that does is create this hypocritical culture and atmosphere in the church. Amen? Wow. Verse 24 says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Sadly, you and I, we are not the best. We don't have the best testimony. We don't have the testimony that we should have. Every Christian. Amen. We have to protect our testimony. We have to protect our testimony as individual Christians and as members of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Because all it does, then when we were dealing with that one, the guy that fixed the lights, you know, remember when we were looking for a contractor, or an electrician, and they did not finish the offices, the lighting there and the ceiling there, and they did not want to finish it. They said they collected the money and they were gonna bill us for more, and we were not willing to pay, and so on. That's just an example. The point is, yeah, there's that practicality aspect, but also there's a testimony aspect that we need to protect. Amen. If that person is not saved, and we decide towards one way or not the other, everything that this church stands for will crumble, right? Everything this church stands for will crumble. The same thing as just as it is as a church, the same thing it is with our individual lives. Amen. My brother has, if you've seen his truck, he has stickers on the back of his truck. One of them says, "The nation that forgets God, this shall be damned." You know, or he has a, you know, I really admire him for doing that. I can't do that. You know why? Because I'm afraid that I would cut somebody off on the freeway. You know? And then all of a sudden they see, oh, wait a minute. That's a Christian. He just cut me off. Wait a minute. That's a Christian. He's over speeding. Right? No, really. Well, I have that in my car. So I guess what? I have to be careful. Because by my testimony and the things that I say, the things that I do, the postings that we post, the emails that we send out, everything that we do can reflect back to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? We have to be careful. But not to the point that we're walking. Sometimes we also have a tendency to be, we're like walking in eggshells, right? You know that saying? Like, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. I can never do anything because I'm a Christian. There's the Christian liberty. Amen? Amen. God did not say, don't put a sticker or put a sticker. There's nothing like that. Okay? Let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit be your guide. Amen? And He will bring conviction into your conscience. Now, there's the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. When it comes to issues that are somewhat gray or questionable. Some, you know, you understand there are some issues in our Christian life when you feel like it's a very thin line between right and wrong, right? It's like, if I do it this way, I don't know. If I do it that way, then maybe they'll never get saved, or you know. So it can be pretty difficult. But you know what I learned? I stopped worrying about it. I stop worrying about it. I just focus on reading and studying the Word of God. I just focus on meditating and always thinking about, you know, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and songs and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. I realized that if I turn my attention to Him, you know, and all of a sudden, I don't really have to be worrying about what I should be doing, what I should not be doing. Because as long as my heart and my mind is full of the Word of God and His goodness, I don't have to try to move away from those things that I'm trying to avoid. I'm already being directed in the right direction. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. He rebukes the Jews and says, oh, you are hypocrites. And the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. What a hard saying. What a hard saying. We'll continue this lesson next on Sunday night. It gets better. I do have several verses and some things that I want to share with you about the Jews. But I hope God spoke to you today. Amen. That's the most important thing. I hope that God spoke to you today. How is your life? And how is your testimony? And how is the testimony of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church in the community? Amen? How are we doing? Let's all stand up and close in prayer. So the piano plays. If you need to come, I would hate to close without giving an altar call. if you need to come tonight, one or two verses, make your way to the altar or just sit on your pews. You can just pray to God, Lord, help me in my testimony. Help me walk this life that I may live a pleasing sacrifice for you, according to Romans chapter 12. Help me that I may not blaspheme the word of God by the way I live, by the words that I say, by the things that I do. May I be a light, a salt in this earth that will bring people to you as opposed to driving them away from you. If that's your prayer tonight, I'll give you a few seconds, few minutes to speak to God. God's people say, amen. Amen. Brother Pat, good to see you, Brother Pat. Can you close this in prayer, please?